Upper Council's cabinet meeting for the 5th of August. Welcome everybody. Are you happy for me to sign the minutes of the 1st of July circulated?
Aye.
We don't have any apologies apart from Carolyn Trowbridge, who is unable to attend this evening. No councillor questions, and so moving towards the formal agenda, please. Councillor Beattie, would you like to introduce the Yarford Holdings Parish Local Area application?
Thank you, Leader. The proposal is to designate Yarnfield and Cold Meads Parish as a neighbourhood area, and that's referred to in the appendix, which involves setting up parameters of the neighbourhood area. And that's with a view to them producing a neighbourhood plan in line with numbers of others who have already taken that approach across the borough. And but they need our approval to do so.
Okay, Councillor Burt.
I was just going to say, I do a bit of work with Yarnfield Parish Council from a county council perspective. And it's really nice to see a vibrant new parish council wanting to take the next step in terms of developing for their residents. And I think it's really nice to see. So fully welcome this, and I think it'd be very good for the residents of Yarnfield. And comments?
I assume we're happy to support the proposal.
We're happy to support that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Can we move then on, please, to second item, Councillor Beattie, starting on page 11.
Yeah, thank you, Leader. This is the approval of an extension to the previously approved delegation arrangements to support the proposed Meesbrook Garden community and to secure identical delegation arrangements for additional grant funding that was received in 2021. And that's an additional grant of £360,000. So it's first of all to continue with the arrangements that we've had in place for the last year, and to include the £360,000 as part of that delegation arrangement.
Thank you. I'm assuming that we're happy to support that proposal.
Happy to.
Aye.
Thank you very much. And so moving on then, please, to the community health portfolio, Councillor Furt, would you introduce, please, the community wellbeing partnership update?
Thank you, Leader. So I think it would be entirely appropriate just to introduce this by welcoming Ben Adams to his role as Police Crime Fire Commissioner. And also to his deputy Helen Fisher. We've enjoyed a close relationship over years with the Staffordshire Commissioner, and it's been very helpful that he has, or they have, provided some funding to help us work on an annual basis to reduce crime and antisocial behaviour in the borough. There is, as part of the Police Reform and Social Responsibility Act, the ability to have these flexible frameworks for partnership working, not only between the local authority and the police and the fire and probation and clinical commissioners, as well as with local communities. And I think it's really important because it gives us not only an obligation to work together, but also tackle crime, disorder and antisocial behaviour, amongst other things. And if you look back at the last 18 months during lockdown, you know, some of these things have come to a fore during that time. This is funding of £72,000 that comes into the Borough Council to help us jointly as a community wellbeing partnership resolve various different elements there, often through commissioning of work through people like YouthNet, Catch, creating sanctuary schemes, and resolve for substance misuse and the Right Stuff boxing. Normally we would talk about this and talk about the outputs, and the outputs are listed here and in the report itself, but I think it is worth just mentioning that actually over the last 18 months of lockdown, actually to deliver the outputs that these organisations have delivered in partnership with ourselves and the police, and the other partner, the other partners of the Community Wellbeing Partnership, I think is a huge achievement and something to be welcomed. So I would like just to note the report itself, but also congratulate all those people involved and those organisations involved, voluntary sector organisations, in the work that we've done across the community to support all in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Burt. That's Bryce out of Bryce.
The
Councillor Burt,
it isn't a significantly large amount of money, but for the amount of money that we do get, we've managed to do an awful lot with it. I commend you and all the work you've done about this. I'd like to also like to thank and congratulate Councillor, Ben Adams and Fisher for their elections to the board that they've been given as well. I welcome and support this report, and I'd like to thank Councillor for that.
Thank you, Councillor Burt. Very comprehensive report, and we're not required to make a decision but go into the contents. Thank you very much. So can we now move on then, please, to the anti-social behaviour policy starting on page 28.
Thank you, Leader. So I'd like to propose the antisocial behaviour policy. If only because we have a statutory duty to investigate reports and complaints of antisocial behaviour, crime and policing, under the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Policing Act of 2014. Actually, antisocial behaviour is one of those things that pops up in various parts of our community from time to time, and when it does, it is one of those areas that does concern a number of residents. So actually I think having a policy that determines what and demonstrates that we take this issue seriously and what we're going to do about it and ensures that we support those victims of this crime, I think is really important. As a result, having a policy that is clear what our responsibilities and those of other partners is important. That is why we've brought that this in front of Cabinet this evening.
Takes us on, please, then to another report from you, Councillor Burt, in relation to financial penalties for housing standards offences.
Thank you, Leader. The context to what is being proposed is that there is increasing regulation within housing standards an increasing framework, and this is post Grenfell, and I think everyone can understand the reasons for wanting to ensure that anyone who rents property to others actually behaves in a proper and safe way. That isn't to penalise or make life difficult for landlords. A third of the housing stock, actually probably 20% of the housing stock within the borough, is owned by private landlords in the private sector, and this isn't designed as a principle of driving them out of the borough. This isn't about not recognising their value in housing residents in the borough. This is about making sure that what they do is done in a safe way, and for those landlords who don't want to do it in a safe way, that we have a framework that we can use to coerce them. The coercion and using the framework is the last thing that we want to do, but we do need the tool in our tool bag to be able to actually say this is acceptable behaviour and an acceptable standard or is not. And that is why we bring this framework in front of Cabinet this afternoon with a recommendation for approval, but it isn't our first step, it is our last step. But if we don't have it as a framework, we can't invoke the penalties that are here, and we can't necessarily enforce that landlords take their responsibility seriously. I have to say, having run a number of landlord forums over the years, that 99.9% of our landlords do take their responsibilities seriously. This is about the very small number who choose not to. As a result, I recommend the adoption of the financial penalties.
Thank you very much. As you say, it's really just a significant minority rather than the great majority at which this report is aimed. I'm assuming again you're happy, Councillor Smith?
Yeah, I fully support the principle behind this. I just have one little concern, which I have discussed with Councillor Burke. When we talk about the tiers of the two the fines, it talks about having an examination by a competent person. Well, for many years I was a competent person, not in the electrical sphere, but in inspection cranes and lifts. And this goes back to the Factory Act of 1905 and then a little more in 1939, where you first see the word competent person. And in all my life, I've never known a competent, or the failure to have an inspection on time be the highest level of fine. The whole purpose of the regulations has been to maintain a safe place of work. And part of that, and I accept in this electrical world, it does seem that a lot more emphasis has been put on the inspection than is in other areas of competent person. So that's why I'm going to support it. But I can give you an example in day-to-day life. If you drive a car which is unroadworthy, your fine is £2,500. If you drive a car without an MOT certificate, your fine is £1,000. That's the point I'm making.
And in response, I think we've debated this a number of times. I think it's a really fair point that that Councillor Smith makes. The real issue for us is the regulatory framework coming down the line, and those regulations. And second of all, actually, if we've got a landlord who accepts that there is an issue, it's not about finding them. It's about working as hard as we can so that we don't find them. But if someone doesn't want to step up to the plate, then the ultimate sanction has to be the one we're proposing here. So I think you're exactly right. It's about nuance rather than regulation, and that's why I deliberately have tried to labour the point. This isn't about denigrating those landlords, but we just need to make sure that we do support every tenant so that they are safe, and I don't think anyone around this table would want otherwise.
Just to come back, I mean, the interpretation is there from the officer that depending on the response you get from the landlord, the appropriate action will be taken. I'm quite comfortable.
Okay, thank you. So we are supportive of the
support.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we're moving on to the last portfolio of the evening. There are two reports, both in the environment portfolio.
Thank you, Leader. This is the Climate Change and Green Recovery Progress Report. The Council has recognised that it has an important role in responding to the threat of climate change, and in response to this, formulated a Climate Change and Green Recovery Strategy, and that was approved for Council in November 2020. This strategy details how we would reduce emissions from our own activities, which in line with our climate emergency declaration, how we would work in partnership, mitigate and adapt to climate change and continue to implement our own green recovery objectives. The implementation of the strategy was unfortunately delayed because of the COVID pandemic, and all of our officers were and still are heavily involved in responding to the pandemic, making sure the vulnerable residents and businesses are still being fully supported. I am extremely pleased with the progress that this Council has made in such a short period of time, given this situation. They've worked tirelessly over the past 12 to 18 months, and I would like to highlight a number of things that we have progressed with. We have appointed a full-time corporate climate change officer who has been working in the corporate business and partnership team on a full-time basis since June. This is a key appointment for the Council and demonstrates our commitment to this important agenda. One of our main areas of focus has been to try and understand our carbon emissions, and we have commissioned a carbon audit that was completed in May, and the report provides an overview of our carbon emissions by area of operation. We want to reduce our carbon emissions as much as possible, but at the same time we need to be pragmatic as we recognise that some of our services will continue to produce some emissions. In order for us to achieve our net zero commitments, we are currently investigating options for reducing our carbon footprint. Where carbon emissions cannot be reasonably reduced by any further degree than the one we've got, for example, then we would look at planting potentially more trees. For the past 6 months, the Council has also been working in partnership with Keele University Centre for Alternative Technology and local authorities across Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent. The partnership is taking a collaborative, problem-solving and systematic approach to experiment and learn and make sense of what is required in order for us to achieve our vision of carbon neutrality. In addition to this work, work is also underway to set up a small panel of community representatives to work with us to support the development of a climate change pledge and information packs with residents in line with the Sustainable Staffordshire Initiative being run by Staffordshire County Council. We'll also want to work with this group and support the advocates of our approach, and also to approach and support community engagement and to work with communities and, of course, our elected members. We've also undertaken a comprehensive risk-based assessment of vulnerabilities to weather and climate and identified priority risk areas for this council, and this will be utilised to refresh our local climate impact profile, which is also underway. So as I previously mentioned, I'm extremely proud of the work that we've done and the work of our officers and what we have achieved in an extremely short space of time, and that I ask Cabinet to note the progress currently made against the work stream and that it is noted. Thank you.
Do you have any comments? I would like to make a few comments. Thank you, Councillor Price, for that comprehensive review of the progress that has been made. I find it noteworthy that despite emails and letters and other representations, not one member of any organisation who contacts me or you or other officers in this council is here this evening to note the progress that you've just reported. It's a public meeting, it's fully advertised. I note that no opposition councillors are here this evening to hear you present that report about something that this authority and this group on Staffordshire Council takes very seriously. And I know that you, Dr. Tracy Redpath, and others have worked tirelessly to get us to the stage that we are at the moment. So I do want to say publicly that I am disappointed that not one of the people that I have mentioned who contact us regularly to suggest that we're not making progress and that we're not giving climate change the airtime that it deserves. I'm disappointed that no one is here this evening to hear just exactly what we are doing.
Thank you, Leader. Yeah, I've been contacted previously in the past from certain groups that have suggested that we've made no progress. I have indicated that there is progress being made and that the Cabinet will give a full progress report. They were very keen to understand what progress had been made, and as you pointed out, they are not here today, any of them. So it does suggest to me that perhaps they are not as interested or perhaps as keen to know where we are and what we're doing as perhaps it's being made out. Nonetheless, looking at other boroughs and districts within Staffordshire and the local area, we have made significant progress compared to those, and I am extremely proud of the work we've done with a very small team. I think we're punching well above our weight. And I do feel that we've set a realistic target to be able to achieve the things that we need to do. So thank you.
Thank you. I think it's worthy of mention also that I don't see any public recognition of pressure being placed on other larger organisations and authorities. We are, in comparison to other organisations, smaller, so we can think of a number of organisations, the NHS, the County Council, other districts, the private sector. I do not receive any representations from any of the bodies that contact us to say that they are also putting pressure and asking questions of those groups. and I publicly ask question, why is that the case, when clearly, as you've just indicated, as a district authority, we are certainly ahead of most, if not all, of the other district authorities in this county in relation to what we have done so far. So I'm assuming on the back of that that our members are happy to accept the report and not the progress it may make. And if you'd like to introduce the next report, which is in some ways even more exciting than the one we've just delivered.
I'm really proud of this one as well. It just goes to show how dedicated we are as an authority, how seriously we take this. As we mentioned, this administration has been committed to our climate change agenda and to increasing biodiversity within the borough. We are listening as an authority. Our officers are listening, and I am listening, both to residents and my fellow councillors' views regarding climate change and the things that we are doing. My love of nature and passion to create green and biodiverse areas in our borough, along with our officers, has been a driving force to secure this space for future generations. I can't express how proud and excited I am to see this initial idea grow and develop into the plan you see before us today. And I know that residents and staff of Borough will just be as pleased to see this local nature reserve become a reality. The story had pride of place on the front page of this week's Staffordshire newsletter and has also created a positive buzz on social media. The 17 hectare or 42 acre site we are proposing this evening shows just how important this is to us. This project will result in the largest Stafford Borough Council owned local nature reserve, and it will be situated right here in the centre of Stafford. The proposed local nature reserve area is already an important piece of Stafford's floodplain, which includes both the River Stour and Peck within its boundary. This beautiful area of natural wildlife presents a perfect opportunity to enhance this important green corridor by restoring habitats to encourage and benefit our local wildlife. Some of our aims include the potential of planting up to 10,000 trees, restoring the native black poplar tree to the riverside, creating new woodlands, development of flower meadows, and enhancing wetland scrapes. Interpretive signage will also inform visitors of all our aims at the site entrance, and there will be many opportunities to work with different partners and community groups along with promoting health and well-being. With so many residents showing an interest in developing nature areas, it is hoped we can help facilitate a network of volunteers to support our conservation work. Lockdown has shown just how important and how valued our green spaces are. In all walks of life, green space draws people outside and fosters social contact or allows them to find a place for quiet reflection and contemplation. Only by spending time in protected places can we develop a sense of how rich in birds, flowers, plants and insects our countryside could be. Without benchmarks such as this proposed space, we'll lose all sense of what we should expect and what we should protect. We lose all sense of wild and our connection to it. Stafford Borough Council's aim to develop a protected space to be enjoyed and appreciated by all our residents, both now and for future generations to come. And I am, as I said, extremely proud. Really pleased to be bringing this document before you today, so thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Burt.
Thank you. I really welcome this report and the work that's going on here. I remember when I first came to Stafford 25 years or more ago, and how beautiful the borough is. You know, whether it's getting off the train and walking through Victoria Park, or whether it's, you know, looking at the Common or anything else, and actually creating the green lungs of Stafford, I think is really important. And creating that outdoor space is really important for people's health as well as mental well-being. It also is really important for the environment. So actually putting our money where our mouth is and actually demonstrating action, I think is really to be welcomed. So I fully support this report and thank the Cabinet Member and the officers for all the work that's gone on here, because actually it will be something that we'll keep pointing back to for the next number of decades and longer.
Yeah, this obviously is very, very welcome, and it links back to the previous report. we've got about 10,000 trees in this area. That is an extremely good mitigation measure to our carbon footprint. And as I mentioned at the council, when you move out of Stafford, where a lot of the people who criticise it don't see, 450,000 trees were planted in the border between my ward and Councillor Willington's ward. And also, through the planning process, 4,500 trees were planted around the new chicken farm on site in Edinburgh. All this adds up. People in Stafford don't see it.
Thank you. Councillor Leader.
Thank you, Leader. Obviously, I support it. It's a tremendously exciting project. As somebody who lives in Stafford, it's clear that we need more places for people to walk and enjoy the countryside, the green spaces that Stafford has got to offer. I think the other exciting thing, and we are crossing our fingers and hoping, is that this should tie in with the Stafford Brooks project, which is aimed to restore and enhance the infrastructure across Stafford along the riverway corridors, which will take the green spaces right the way out, sort of green finger, out into areas of passage and right beyond into the Haywards and so on. So it's actually linking the town out into the countryside. And I think that it's not just that it's a lovely project, it's actually a really important way of linking Stafford attractively into its hinterland. It's going to be a tremendous project and a great tribute to the council for coming up with it.
Well, as you can see, Councillor Price, everyone is supportive of the proposals. As we know, we want to make our borough a place where people want to come and live and work and just stay here. And whilst we have some exciting projects in terms of development and so on, it's brilliant to see what staggered me, 42 acres of area given over to this project. So, like the rest of the cabinet, I commend you and the officers who worked hard on this, and I'm sure we'd all like to support it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay, well, that brings the formal business of tonight's cabinet meeting to a close.